You're listening to the Wool Academy podcast. This is episode number 14. Hello and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Van Delden, and once a week we talk to an industry expert from the wool industry supply chain, from farm to fashion and beyond, delivering strategies and insights to be successful in wool and showcasing those beautiful stories wool has to tell. Today I have the honor of talking to my friend Monica Ebert. I have met Monica the first time during the IWTO Congress in Cape Town in South Africa in 2014. Monica was back then selected as one of the candidates for the IWTO Young Professionals Program. I've ever since followed Monica's career very closely, and I'm very happy that she can be on today's show and talk to us about her professional development in the wool industry. So welcome, Monica. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. And maybe let's get started by you telling us about yourself and what you do in the wool industry.
Wonderful. So I have a bit of a unique background in that I grew up on a sheep farm in northeast Kansas in the United States. And I actually didn't intend to work in the wool industry. I went to undergraduate university at Kansas State University and studied fashion design and marketing. And actually oftentimes got told by people, oh, you're working in the fashion industry, you're going to end up doing something with wool. And I actually didn't even intend to do that. But after I studied abroad, I spent a semester in London. I came back and I decided that my ag background was pulling at me a little bit. And I decided to do wool judging, which was offered at the university that I went to. And so I learned how to judge wool in the same way that a buyer goes through and looks at wool and judges it based on its quality. I learned how to do that. And after being fairly successful at wool judging at university, I decided that maybe I should focus on the wool industry. So then I decided to get my master's degree after doing a summer internship at a wool research lab in Texas. So I went back, studied at Angelo State University in San Angelo, Texas, and worked at Texas A&M University and focused my master's degree research on sheep genetics and wool apparel product development. So that is how I ended up in the wool industry. For the past year, I've managed the wool research lab at Montana State University. It's our only other wool research lab that we have in the U.S. at the university level. So somewhat of a crazy background of how I've led to where I am now, but it's a great industry and I'm happy to be just beginning my career.
And what was it that fascinated you about wool when you started to work with it more?
Really, I think it was just the people, and there's so much more to wool than there is with so many other fibers, because different breeds of sheep grow different types of wool. Like the sheep that my family raises, their wool isn't good. It's not good merino wool. We don't raise merinos. So our wool is better suited for home interiors and carpets. And so it's so incredible just to see all the different applications for wool, that it's not just apparel. And that's one thing that has led me to the industry and certainly keeps me intrigued by the industry, that there's so much you can do with the fiber.
Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned in my introduction, is that I met you at an IWTO Congress because you were one of the young professionals, and I think you've been to almost all of the events of IWTO ever since. And maybe tell us a little bit about your experience at the IWTO congresses as the young professionals. How did you benefit from that particular program?
So I was fortunate in that before I became involved with IWTO, I was involved with our American sheep industry, and we have a program in the U.S. called the Young Entrepreneurs Program. So I started going to conferences with somewhat of that same mindset. So then when I decided I was going to focus, when I got to my master's degree and decided to focus on the wool industry, I thought I needed to get out and network with people, you know, outside of the United States. And I'm sure through our American sheep industry, I heard about the IWTO and I heard about the Young Professional Program. So I worked with one of my professors And he helped, you know, he helped me, served as a reference for the application, put my application in, and decided that if I was selected to go, then I was going to go to South Africa. And I couldn't be more happy that I did. I couldn't be more happy that you offered that program, because it has since then opened up a lot of doors for me.
And tell us a little bit, how is the project, the program, like, put together? What happens at a conference as a young professional?
So what happened at the conference was that the IWTO staff buddies you up with other industry professionals, and as part of the application they do ask what area of the industry you are more interested in, so that they can tailor, make your, you know, the buddy that they end up setting you up with. And I like to joke that I don't know that I paid extra in my in the fees to go to the conference, because I was given two buddies for the Congress. And so Dave Maslin from the New Zealand Merino Company was one of mine, and then Paul Swan from the Australian Wool Innovation was the other. And so with that, I had two people to help me navigate the Congress, which was really nice, because it was, as I was traveling there, and actually in the elevator on the way down to the social hour the first evening, it was when it finally dawned on me that I didn't know anyone at this conference. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, immediately introduced myself to the staff. They immediately introduced me to my buddies, and the rest has been history. So,
And I think you've really been deliberate about it, how, like, that you kept contact with these buddies and you kept coming back for more networking at the events. Why did you do that? Like, and how did it benefit you?
You go to an event one time and you meet these people. But for me, since I was in graduate school, I needed a job eventually. And so I felt like if I only came to just one event, then you're going to start to lose contact. Even if you do keep in contact, you know, via email, phone calls, Skype. I mean, there's so many ways to keep in touch with people nowadays that it's really handy. But at the same time, these people are very busy professionals. Sometimes they aren't always the greatest at responding to emails. So keeping in touch can really be difficult. And, you know, I figure for, you know, once, maybe twice a year, if you do attend the roundtable as well as the Congress, it's a way to keep in front of these industry professionals that may be difficult to keep in touch with throughout the year. But they're oftentimes at these events, maybe not necessarily at all of them. But as they keep seeing you, that helps them, you know, remember you in their mind. It shows them that you're serious about being part of the industry. So then when you are looking for jobs, you know, those people are going to think about you. And just because you maybe don't live in the same country as they do, it makes it much easier if you do intend to go out in the international industry. Or that's certainly been the case in my experience.
And how did the content of the Congress, was that something also new for you, all the different topics that were discussed at such a Congress?
Yes, and it's been amazing to see how it differs from year to year, how different it was in South Africa, being more of a grower country, than going to China, to where it's more of a manufacturing and consumer country. Again, going back to Australia, again, a grower country. So every year, it's been a little bit different. It's not always the same. And so that's another reason, I think, to continue to keep coming back, because, you know, it's not the same story every year, just in a new location. They work very hard to change it up. Each country gets to kind of decide what they want the focus to be. And I think that's made them very interesting and very important as wool industry professionals to keep up to date with what's going on in the industry. Mm. Oftentimes, especially because the United States isn't known for our robust wool industry, it's one of the best ways to keep in touch with what's happening around the world.
And have you also kept in contact with other young professionals that you have met at the event?
Yes. It's kind of tough. Again, we go back, you know, we tend to go back home, and We get back to our everyday lives. We get back to our jobs. But I have tried to stay in contact. We do now have a Facebook group, and it's a way for us to kind of just keep in contact with each other, know what's going on. I think we could still certainly do a better job. And I don't know that I have all the perfect ideas on how to do that. But as the number of young professionals over the years continues to grow, I do look at it and say, I'm in a room with our senior people in the wool industry, I look at the young professionals and say, well, in 10, 20, 30 years, we're going to be those people. And so these are going to be people that I hope to be working with the rest of my life. So trying to stay in contact, that maybe we are not necessarily working together on anything right now, we most likely will be in the future. And so being able to build those relationships now, I think will make working together in the long term work very nicely.
Yeah. And we'll make sure that we link to the next Young Professionals program in the show notes so that anyone interested can also apply. And
yes,
we'll build a bigger group of young professionals within the IWTO community. Mm-hmm. And I would also like to talk a little bit about the work that you have done over the past year at the university. You have also been teaching some classes. What do you think is important when, in the educational area with young people and getting them excited for the wool industry?
I think the best thing is in teaching lessons, oftentimes I feel kind of boring when I get up in front of a classroom to talk about the wool industry. I try to bring in as many real world examples as possible, because I think that's what students will gravitate towards the most. When you just are talking about intangible concepts and you don't bring it around to what actually goes on in the real world, they have a very hard time, looking at that and saying, oh wow, this would be an industry that I would want to work in. And so oftentimes, it makes me talk about my travels, talking about seeing, manufacturing, whether that's the manufacturing I've seen in the United States or in China, and showing them the opportunities that there are out there within the wool industry. Obviously, we're not a huge industry, but I would say that, in my time, I've become very passionate about the industry. And so I think if we can discuss our experiences and find those students that have the potential to have that same passion for the industry, we can end up with some very good, high quality professionals entering our industry. But trying to be as hands-on as possible, because I know I certainly, when I look back at what I remember from my university studies, it's oftentimes the times that I spent outside of the classroom that I remember the most from. And that's probably why, again, through wool judging, I did have to miss classes some, but I look back at that time and it was such an incredible learning experience that I was able to take part in. It's no surprise that I've found my career in that same industry.
Mm. And you've been just recently to the last Wool Roundtable that was held by IWTO in Biella. And there on the agenda of the program was also a whole session about education. And what can you tell us a little bit, what were the key messages from that session at the event?
Yes. So they brought in university professionals from around the world. And we got to learn about the different programs that there are out there within the textile and creative industries, and really got a good overview of what programs are out there. And those professionals were also then reaching out to the wool industry, looking at, possible ways that we can try to entice more people into the wool industry, how we can work together better with our universities to create strong programs and create strong partnerships so students are able to know about the wool industry. I think that sometimes one of the difficult things when you look at the textile industry and by numbers, it would be more likely that you just end up in a textile position. And then when you think about the global fiber market, that means you almost likely end up working with cotton or polyester, other synthetic fibers. So most people don't realize about our niche market. And so really it was just a good way to start building some partnerships between you know, our wool industry and the companies within it, with the universities that are in Europe, but New Zealand, Australia, and elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, and when I talk to a lot of people in the wool industry who own companies, they often say they have actually trouble finding young people who want to work for them. What would you say, what kind of advice could you give to those companies, you having been just someone who was looking for a job as well? What mm-hmm. should they do to attract young people to work for them?
I think trying to have as much visibility as possible. And I mean, if you're looking in a specific area, to try to build a strong relationship with the university in your area, or, you know, one of the closer universities that do have a textile program. So sometimes that might not be the closest university to you. And offering internship programs is a great way to try to select talent and before you would actually end up hiring them. So, and that, I think, you know, internships work out really well if a company is able to offer them. In the United States, it's oftentimes that students are required to do internships, and a lot of times then companies don't have to compensate those employees, but maybe even you just offer, you know, housing or something like that. So then, you know, maybe it's not as expensive as hiring somebody on full time, but then, you know, you get to test out that student, and then at the same time they can test out your company, and I think you can learn a lot that way, and just, you know, how to entice employees to come and work for you, how to, you know, how to keep employees working for you, because obviously, you know, high turnover leads to be very costly for companies if they're constantly having to train, you know, new people. And so I think that's one great way to try to entice young people to come and work, just having some visibility. And and that's one thing, being at the IWTO conference, I do think that that students, you know, have to have the initiative and have to show the initiative that they want to work in whatever industry that they intend to work in. So I think sometimes just having that, just, you know, maybe it's hanging up a flyer or going to a classroom and discussing your company, and then seeing what students come up to you afterwards, because that's, you know, that's the best way to find the kind of talent that you're most likely going to want. You want those people who also have to reach out some, you know, you can't just necessarily spoon feed everybody. And I think that's the best way to get some of the best talent from around the world. And so maybe it's that you find that you've hired so many people from, you know, a specific university or a specific area, and then I would say reach out and try to work closely with those programs more in the future.
And what role does social media play? Would industry companies, do they have to invest into social media so that younger generations also have that visibility, as you said, and that interaction?
Oh yes, definitely. Again, I mean, because if nothing else, it's just putting yourself out there and you're visible for people to see. I'm sure you could, you know, if you think about the amount of time that I spend on Facebook or Instagram, I'm not a Twitter user, so, but most, you know, most people my age are. I think it is very important to play an active role on social media. It doesn't necessarily have to be a lot, but I think one of the best ways if you're going to engage with social media, show about the innovations within your company and any use of technology. That's certainly I think it's certainly going to be more and more important in enticing people to come and work for our industry, is talking about the innovations, talk about what's happening, talk about new things, because if most people would look at the wool industry, and if they have the negative perceptions that we deal with consumers, if they think that we're just an old industry and that we're not doing anything new and exciting, it'll make it very hard to entice students, you know, or young professionals to want to work in the wool industry. When in fact, and again, in going to IWTO, and you do get to see about some of the innovations happening, and it's very exciting to see that, you know, as an industry, we are working very hard to keep up with the times, and, you know, it can be difficult keeping up with the margins that companies that make polyester and synthetic fibers are dealing with, where we are oftentimes dealing with much smaller margins, that innovation takes a, can take a little bit longer. But I think we're keeping right up there, and I think that's definitely a good way to you know, reach out to young professionals through social media and show them that the wool industry is a very exciting and innovative industry to work in.
And you also told me, because you said in the beginning that you have grown up on a sheep farm, and I think you mentioned to me that you're with the sheep that you breed on your farm, you also actually have a Facebook page.
Yes.
So is that something you would recommend in general to other farmers as well, to be out there and talk about their own farm and their sheep?
Yes, definitely. We've sold sheep through Facebook. Oftentimes we have, in the United States, I don't know about everywhere else in the world, but in the United States, online sales have become very popular. So just like we buy our clothes online, people buy sheep online. I'm still not totally on board with it, but we do have, rather than, you know, every spring, our sheep farm always had a sheep sale. And it, you know, as I've gotten older, as my sister has gotten older, it becomes harder and harder for her and I to come home to help out with the sheep sale. And so now, actually since I had started graduate school, so a few years ago, we decided to switch. Instead of doing a sale on the farm, we do it online. So you just have to get pictures taken beforehand, and the pictures end up becoming the most important thing, because that's all that people are gonna see, unless they do happen to live close enough that they can come and see the sheep beforehand. But we post that sale online, and so we end up getting buyers from around the United States and not just in Kansas. And so it gets our farm name out there more often. And so then, you know, if the sheep do well, as we always hope that they do, then those people will talk and they'll say, oh, well, we actually, you know, bought the sheep from Kansas. And so then, you know, when our next online sale comes around, it's a great way to get the word out. And then, you know, they can talk about it, and then they can also refer them to our Facebook page and see, you know, what kind of sheep that we raise, if they're the type of sheep that, you know, they're looking for. We do raise purebred sheep, so they're registered sheep, which, you know, some people are looking for, you know, other people are not, but they can at least see what we actually raise. And so the Facebook page, we have that in addition to our website. And so it's also another way to direct traffic to our website, to see even more pictures or anything else, you know, information about our sheep farm, the way that we raise our sheep. It's all there, and it's been a really great way for us to find more customers, you know, around the U.S.
And would you also say it's quite easy now with the smartphones? You actually walk around your farm, take pictures, and you could almost immediately upload them to your Facebook page.
Oh, yes, definitely. Often if I'm home and my dad says, oh, we need to take pictures so we can send it to a person who's interested in a ram. And so we just pull out our cell phones, grab the sheep, take some pictures of it. And it's, you know, it's very quick. It's easy. You don't have to, you know, necessarily even use a digital camera. And with the SD card, I mean, you can do things almost instantaneously, which makes it so much easier to post to a Facebook page and have, you know, good engagement with our customers around the country.
Yeah, well, I love that idea. And I actually just bought my Labrador dog also through, finding it through a Facebook page. So there you go. It applies to several industries. Maybe before we wrap up, what would you say the industry should do more for young professionals? And maybe at the end also tell us kind of what advice would you want to give to a young professional?
I think as an industry, continuing the young professional program, and after the young professional program, they do a survey. They ask the young professionals to do a survey, and I'm not sure if we do one with the buddies or the mentors or not, but that would be something that we can do more in the future and figure out more so than even just what I necessarily think. But I think certainly continuing the program, it certainly makes it easier for somebody coming in to a conference if they don't know anybody. You know, offering up somebody who will help them navigate the conference, I think, is incredible. It's it's an idea that I've also tried to implement with our American sheep industry, and it just hasn't quite been able to take off. But in talking to, you know, others in the U.S. that did the Young Entrepreneur Program, most all of them had said yes, because it, you go to a new conference, there's all these people, and it can be incredibly overwhelming. And you know, if I mean, not everybody's as outgoing as I am. I'll oftentimes walk up to somebody no matter what and introduce myself, but not everybody is, you know, is quite the same way. And so it can be very nerve-wracking, especially when we're talking about a conference that CEOs of companies are at, and you might be, you know, sitting next to them, you know, at dinner one evening. It can be difficult, and one, you know, and thinking, what do I have to say to this person? But I think we're doing very well, and I think it's just, as you know, we continue the program, you know, reaching out and making sure that everybody's voice is heard of ideas, because that's where new ideas are going to come from, where we're going to figure out what else we can do in the future. I know we have talked some about, you know, maybe doing a workshop type of study where students can travel to various parts of the world, so then they can, you know, have a little bit more of a hands-on experience of what's actually happening in the industry. I think it's good, though, that at the IWTOs, they oftentimes happen in places where you can go see manufacturing and you can go see certain aspects of the industry, whether it's manufacturing, farming, maybe retailers that carry wool products. And showing the young professionals those opportunities, so they see that, you know, if you go in the wool industry, you're not just a wool buyer, and there's so many, you know, opportunities along the supply chain, and how involved you can be, and really understand the entire supply chain. And so I think that's really great. And as far as advice for young professionals wanting to enter the industry, you know, whether it's attending IWTO, whether it's attending even just, you know, a local, you know, your local wool growers or your local manufacturing association. But I think getting out and networking, I mean, that has been the most helpful thing that I've done so far. I have done a little bit of work with my undergrad university. They host a symposium for the students. And so I was able to attend 1 year, and that was the best advice I could give them, because as I discussed, you know, my time with IWTO, most everybody thought, wow, that's really incredible. And so my best advice is, I mean, is you do have to put yourself out there and find those opportunities and seek out those opportunities. And I hope that as we continue with IWTO and try to be more visible with that program, whether it's just, you know, sending out flyers to universities, maybe having somebody who's maybe involved in IWTO going and speaking to a classroom. That was how I decided the study abroad program that I chose, was because the university in London sent somebody in. They spoke to our classroom. It made it easier. I knew that they'd have the classes that would transfer back. And so something along those lines, just in deciding, you know, what you want to do, and whether that's, you know, deciding you want to work in the wool industry, or whether you just want to focus on fashion, or whatever you may do, my best advice is to get out of the classroom a little bit. Your professors might not appreciate that much. I'm not saying skip class and lay in bed on a Friday morning, but oftentimes those experiences that you have outside of the classroom are just as beneficial, if not more beneficial, to networking, to finding jobs, or to even just figuring out what you want to do with your career.
Okay, well, thank you for those last words. I really appreciate your time, and I wish you much success. There'll be more exciting stuff to come for you in 2017. And also, the next IWTO Congress is up in the beginning of May, and it will take place in Harrogate in the UK. So that should also be very interesting in regards to learning more about the British wool industry. So thank you once again, Monica, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Okay. It's been great.
Bye-bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode with young professional Monika Ebert. To find out more about Monika and the IWTO Young Professionals program, please visit the show notes. Here you will also find the link to the IWTO Young Professional application. Visit elizabethvandelden.com/014. Once again, visit elizabethvandelden.com/014. Don't want to miss out on any of the future episodes? Then subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and also like us on Facebook at Elizabeth Van Delden. Thank you, and see you next week.